Sunday morning, June 24, 2018. Whatever he says to you, do it is this title of this teaching. Whatever he says to you, do it. When you ain't scared no more, you can do it, whatever he tells you to do. Think about Brother Hagin. It says a woman was prophesying in one of his meetings, and she said something about, thus saith the Lord, don't be scared. Said, but sometimes I get scared too. Yeah. Whatever he says to you, do it. Okay, John chapter 2. This start with verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited with his disciples to the wedding. When the wine was all gone, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no more wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what is that to you and to me? My time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were 6 water pots of stone standing there, as the Jewish custom of purification demanded, holding 20 to 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. Then he said to them, draw some out and take it to the manager of the feast. Now you think there wasn't any fear here? So they took him some. And when the manager tasted the water just now turned into wine, not knowing where it came from. See, when you do stuff afraid, like we looked at the last teaching, they just did it anyway. Whatever he says, you do it. Fear might present itself, but you just do it. And when the manager tasted the water just now turned into wine, they had to carry them big pots all the way, knowing they were water, thinking, I'm going to lose my job over this. Just now turned into wine, not knowing where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew he called the bridegroom. I could just hear them talking among themselves, oh my God. The rent's due. It's 2 weeks from Christmas and I hadn't bought any gifts yet. Can't you just hear him talking about him and says, oh my God, when he sees this, he's going to... And it said to him, everyone who else serves his best wine first when people have drunk freely, then he serves that which is not so good. But you've kept back the good wine until now. This was the first of his signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. He and his disciples believed in him, trusted in him because of the miracle they saw. Okay, now we're going to look at a few more things. Luke chapter 10. Whatever he says to you, do it. 30. Now I want to say something here. I'll qualify it as I go along. Jesus' mother said, whatever he says to you, do it. And the Lord began to speak to me a few weeks ago about practical application. Now I believe it's God's will that, you know, we attain everything by faith, but sometimes he will give you a practical application and we don't need to rebel in our mind thinking it's not faith if he says for us to do that. Jesus himself did that in cases. This was a practical application. He told them to go and fill the water pots up. It's a step of faith. It's like a faith extender, if you will. Okay, 30. Jesus, taking him up, replied, a certain man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him of his clothes and belongings and beat him and went their way, leaving him half dead as it happened. Now, by coincidence, a certain priest was going down along that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. A Levite likewise came down to the place and saw him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he traveled along, came down to where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity and sympathy. And he went to him and dressed his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I return. Which of these three do you think proved himself a neighbor to him who fell among the robbers? So this man met natural needs. Even with the wine, Jesus met a natural need. They were out of wine. So sometimes the Lord does have us supply, not just pray for people that they'd get an instant this or an instant that, but sometimes we have to meet practical things. To me, I wish it was just all by faith. They never had to bring the natural into it, but it just doesn't work that way. We should never assume about how the Lord will handle a situation. If we get so locked in that this is the only way, then the Lord's saying, no, not that way. Now do this. You understand what I'm saying? I know, because we were in the Word of Faith for so long, and you get so locked in to certain ways of doing things, even in that kind of thing, that you don't, you close your mind off to other things. Hebrews 4. We should never assume, getting back to David, that was what was special about David. The times that he got into trouble was when he didn't ask the Lord. When the ox stumbled on the cart and Uzzah stuck his hand out and died before the Lord. He didn't ask the Lord how to transport the ark. Or when he numbered Israel. The Lord's not into numbers in that respect. But he didn't want him thinking his own might was in numbers. You know, a lot of people think, well, the masses, that's where my strength and power lies. No, it doesn't. God doesn't like that. He doesn't like us looking to them as our strength and our power and things, but him alone. Okay, Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life and the spirit and of joints and marrow, exposing, sifting, analyzing, and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. The Lord wants us to know he meets us where we are. He knows where we are, and he helps us. It may not be as highest yet, but he'll help us as long as we're trying to move forward and do what he wants us to do. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. So we can be assured that we don't need to be afraid wherever we are that he'll meet it. That we can come boldly and ask for help and get help when we need it. If we just go to speaking and mouthing, confessing, you know what I'm saying? How we faith people are. Just mouthing and confessing, just doing stuff. Is that how we are? Something comes, we just blah, 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 blah. I think that's trying to work out our own salvation sometimes. Sometimes that is just as bad. Didn't the Lord say to Danny one time, he's doing all his confessions, and the Lord just said something about that's like no different than praying the rosary. A dead work's a dead work. I don't care if you're quoting scripture or not. See, we've been talking about fear and how fear causes us to react. We need to act, not react. David acted. Saul's army reacted. All right, James 5:1 says, ask for wisdom. If you're deficient in wisdom, ask for wisdom. So you can get the answer to what you need for this particular situation. This year is the year of witty inventions, or 2019 will be the year of witty inventions and naughty problems solved. See, we're going to come across situations and problems that are going to need solving. We need to get used to letting the Lord solve these problems. He wants to do so. Instead of, well, I guess we better get us a committee together and he may have a fundraiser. Really? Isn't that the norm? Every church I've been in, it was. Well, a kid's got to go to camp. Guess we better have a bake sale. Or wash cars. Or sell candy bars. I was thinking about that the other day. We were going to a church, and our kids were selling those stupid candy bars, and they'd take them out and drop them on the highway and have them go up and down businesses and everything else. And one day we left our son with the two older girls, and we ran to the mall. We come back, there's police cars all around. These kids across the street, that's a criminal today, molested our son. And I got, I dropped out of favor at my job, which was on staff at a church, because I wouldn't let him go do candy bars. And I said, he will not sell another one of those dead gum candy bars. I mean, I got right in their faces. Is that God's way? Put your kids out there in harm's way? I'm not blaming them, but he was out there selling those stupid candy bars. It just makes me mad. See, God has a way of provision. He always has and he always will. Well, anyway. The year of witty inventions and naughty problems solved. God has an answer to every problem. And everything he requires of us, there's provision. How do we find out about it? Zip that lip. Be still and know that he is God. Don't let fear stop you. Wait long enough to hear. He has an answer for everything. And I've told this before and I'll tell it again. I believe God has a set destination and plan for each one of us. Like I said, there's the general will of God, but then there's the defined will of God. Up here, I usually teach the general will of God. But you as an individual, you have a defined will of God. And only God can speak that to you. I can't get up here and tell you what God's told me to do. He might never tell you to do that. But there is, he knows the obstacles that you will come across. He knows his plan for each obstacle that you come in contact with. He's just waiting on you to ask him and wait long enough to hear without reacting out of fear. Mark chapter 8. The church has just turned into a merchandising tool. I'm sorry, I just hate that. But we're coming out of that, changing of the guards. We'll be like the disciples. They said, don't take an extra pair of shoes or clothes or money bag. Because he wants to finance your journey. Instead of you worrying and staying up nights trying to figure out how in the world you're going to do it. Well, I tell you, you can tell ministries it's got their priority right. If what they're bringing, over half of what they're doing is about money, drop them like a hot rock. I don't care who they are. The Lord is so displeased with that. Maybe they don't know any better. Probably that's what they've been brought up in, and that's all they know. But Jesus run them out of the temple. Freely you have received, freely give. God gives us freely. He doesn't hold it back from us. We just need to ask wisdom on how, okay, what should we do about this, Lord? Well, go to Buffalo Water, put in a fish hook, and the money that comes up, go pay for it. Is that how he works? Is that how he got his provision? He didn't go up on the mountain and cry and fret over, Lord, we ain't got two nickels to put together. What are we supposed to do? Okay, Mark 8, 1. In those days, when an immense crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and told them, have pity and sympathy for the people. My heart goes out to them, for they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their homes hungry, they will be feeble through exhaustion and faint along the road, and some of them have come a long way. And his disciples replied to him, how can anyone fill and satisfy with loaves of bread here in this desolate, uninhabited region? And he asked them, how many loaves have you? They said, 7. And he commanded the multitude to recline upon the ground. He took the 7 loaves, and giving thanks, he broke them and kept on giving them to his disciples to put before the people, and they placed them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and when he had praised God and given thanks and asked him to bless them, he ordered that these should be set before them. And they ate, were satisfied, and they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And there were about 4,000 people. He dismissed them. So, he was met with a challenge. What happened? God told him what to do. The Pharisees came and began to argue with and question him, demanding from him a sign, a testing miracle from heaven, maliciously to test him. I'm thinking, where were they when he fed the 4,000? There was a sign right there. And he groaned and sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation demand a sign? Positively, I say to you, no sign will be given this generation. He went away and left them, and getting into the boat again, he departed to the other side. Now they had completely forgotten to bring bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. And Jesus repeatedly and expressly charged and admonished him, saying, look out, keep on your guard, and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod and the Herodians. And they dismissed it and reasoned with one another, is it because we have no bread? Jesus was thinking about, no, they were sign seekers. They had to see the proof in their hand before they would believe. And Jesus was saying, don't buy into that bread. He wasn't talking about natural bread. He was talking about, look at the loaves and the fishes. Look at the miracle that just happened. Look at God's provision. That's what he was trying to get them to look at. And being aware of it, Jesus said to them, why are you reasoning and saying, is it because you have no bread? Do you not yet discern or understand? Are your hearts in a settled state of hardness? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear and perceive and understand in the sense of what is said? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. And the 7 loaves for 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he kept repeating, do you not yet understand? No, that I had them, you know, what they would have done today. Okay, we got to feed all these people. Let's take up an offering. God has all the answers. He has all the answers to anything we'll ever face. It's all mapped out and planned out. Should we decide to take that mission, that road, and ask him, he has a plan, always. Now, we shipwreck and we go our own way and do it, get in the flesh and all those things. But we just repent, get back on track, and here comes the next mission. And then we get clear from the Lord what we are to do. And if he doesn't say anything, we don't do anything. Talk about when the cloud moves, we move. If it doesn't move, we don't move. See, fear says, oh, you got to do something. You got to do something. You got to do something. That's what fear says. I got bills to pay. I've got, I've got, to, I got, I got, You don't think the Lord knows all that? Okay, John 21. Is Jesus the captain of your boat? Or is there a mutiny? John 21:1. After this, Jesus let himself be seen, revealed again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he did it in this way. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called the twin, and Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, and also the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, and we are coming with you. So that they went out and got into the boat, and threw it out that night. They caught nothing. Morning was already breaking when Jesus came to the beach and stood here. However, the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, boys, do you have any meat? Do you? Have you caught anything to eat along with your bread? They answered him, no. See, they toiled. All night they toiled, and they just didn't make a thing, get a thing. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast the net, and now they were not able to haul it in for such a big catch, mass quality of fish. God has a plan. And he does everything abundantly. He's the one that's the God of the overflowing cup. I heard someone say one time that to people, the overflowing cup is a waste. But to God, over the cup, onto the table, running out of the legs of the table, that's abundance. Yeah. Oh, look at that selfish thing over there. All right, Matthew 17. Well, the kingdom of God, those that obey God, he gives them more. It's not like the world. Work all your life and save up and they take it all away from you to give to a bum that won't do anything. In the kingdom of God, if you take what God gives you and work with it, you'll gain more and you'll gain more and you'll gain more. That's why you see the people that teach prosperity that have attained things by faith and walking out God's way, people point fingers at them and want to trash them and bash them because they're too lazy to get off their posteriors and do it. But one day they'll stand before the Lord because of it. He'll say, I gave you a talent. Why'd you hide it? You didn't do a thing with it. You didn't gain anything. You're wicked. 17:24. When they arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the half shekel went up to Peter and said, Does not your teacher pay the half shekel? He answered, yes. And when he came home, Jesus spoke to him, first saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do earthly rulers collect duties or tribute? From their own sons or from others, not of their own family? When Peter said, from other people, not of their own family, Jesus said to him, then the sons are exempt. However, in order not to give offense and cause them to stumble, that is to cause them to judge unfavorably and unjustly, go down to the sea and throw in a hook, take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find there a shekel. Take it and give it to them to pay the temple tax for me and for yourself. Yes, Jesus paid his taxes. That's probably one question that's been asked by people. Probably the people that are trying to evade their taxes. Okay, the Lord meets us where we're at. The Lord is practical. He knows what we need. It's not all just lay hands and try to, you know what I'm saying? It's not always just that. Sometimes we have to meet with practical application. James chapter 3. Sometimes you cannot minister to someone until you meet that practical application. Okay, 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled, then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed, sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others, at peace, which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals, with this undisturbedness and a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Okay, that's the way he wants us to live. We're to be problem solvers, peaceful problem solvers. Okay, Daniel, I'm not going to go there and read all of that, but Daniel had a way about him, Joseph did too, that they would have dreams and they would solve naughty problems. And Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and he wouldn't even tell the so-called wise men of their day, who were nothing more than magicians, he wouldn't tell them the dream. They had to come up with what the dream was and then a solution to the dream, or they was going to all be chopped up and their houses made of dunghill or something like that. But Daniel said, my God has given Pharaoh a dream, and he's showing Pharaoh about the end times and what's going to happen. So he imparted to him. What a way to live. He had the wisdom of God. Whatever he says to you, do it. That's what I'm saying to you today. You'll never fail when you do it his way. He has a solution for everything. He has a resource for every need. But if we get in fear and we react, we won't ever come in contact with that other kingdom and the provision that it holds.